Blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Genesis 14, 17 to 20. Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 to 20. After Abraham returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. My theme for reflection is bread, wine, and the battle after the battle. Bread, wine, and the battle after the battle. If you have ever noticed how easy it is to pray before a crisis and forget to pray after a success, then you already understand Genesis 14. We are often very spiritual in the valley, but strangely silent on the mountaintop. Lent, however, teaches us to examine not only how we suffer, but how we succeed. Who is involved in this passage? Abram, fresh from an unlikely military victory. Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of God Most High. And in the background, the king of Sodom, a symbol of worldly power and moral compromise. What has just happened? Abraham has rescued his nephew Lot from a coalition of kings. Where? In the ancient Near Eastern world of tribal alliances and petty kingdoms. When? After battle. At the vulnerable moment when adrenaline fades, pride can quietly rise. Why? Because the deeper battle is not against foreign kings, but against the human heart. The problem is subtle. Abraham has just achieved something remarkable. At 75 plus, he leads 318 trained men and defeats powerful rulers. He could easily claim credit. Victory often breeds self-congratulation. And beneath self-congratulation lies something darker, thanklessness. As Romans 1:21 reminds us, humanity's fall began when they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. A thankless heart quickly becomes an idolatrous heart. Into this moment steps Melchizedek. He brings bread and wine, not weapons. He speaks blessing, not flattery. And he reframes the victory. "Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Melchizedek answers the unspoken temptation. Abraham did not win because he was clever. God delivered. Abraham's response is decisive. He gives a tenth. He directs honor where honor is due. He refuses to let the king of Sodom say, "I made Abraham rich." Abraham understands something important. Gratitude protects the soul from pride. I think it was John Calvin who once wrote, "The human heart is a perpetual factory of idols. Success feeds that factory. Gratitude shuts it down." In Lent, we are invited to dismantle the idols we quietly build: self-sufficiency, achievement, security, and to return honor to God. There is also a deeper threat running through this text. Psalm 110 later declares of the coming Messiah, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The mysterious priest-king of Salem points forward to Christ, and Hebrews tells us that Jesus, our great high priest, mediates not merely bread and wine of hospitality, but the bread and wine of covenant grace, who in the end rescues us, not our willpower, not our resume, not the rituals or routines we carefully build. In today's culture, a lot of modern spirituality sounds different on the surface, but carries the same core message. Look within, unlock your potential, step into your power, curate your own breakthrough. The language is softer, sometimes more therapeutic than mystical, but the center of gravity is still the self. Growth becomes self-engineered. Salvation becomes self-constructed. Genesis 14 pushes back against that instinct. It shifts the spotlight away from human striving and places it where it belongs. Deliverance is not achieved, it is given. The victory belongs to God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Lent confronts us with this question. After the battle, to whom do we give credit? When your career advances, when your health improves, when your family flourishes, do you quietly attribute it to your own brilliance? Or do you, like Abraham, lift your hand to the Lord and acknowledge the giver? The gospel sharpens this further. Unlike Abraham, we do not merely tithe spoils of war. We receive grace from a greater priest. 1 Timothy 2:5 declares, "There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Our gratitude is not payment, it is a response. We give because we have first received. Lent trains our hearts in that response. It invites us to reorient our honor. The bread and wine Melchizedek offered foreshadow the table of Christ. And at that table, pride dies and gratitude lives. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where in your life have you quietly taken credit for what God has graciously given? Number two, what relationships or influences in your life resemble the King of Sodom, pulling your heart toward compromise rather than worship? And now our practical exercise for the day. Write down three specific blessings from the past month: material, relational, or spiritual, and consciously thank God for each one. Then express gratitude to one person who has been part of God's provision in your life. God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, forgive us for the pride that forgets you. Deliver us from thankless hearts and subtle idols. Teach us in this Lenten season to direct honor where honor is due, through Jesus Christ, our eternal High Priest, who gives himself for us. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.